Hello and welcome to Happy Healthy Unalaska. This is Emlyn Crane and I'm with USAVE, and I'm here today with two students from the Unalaska City School District as well as a member of the PCR staff to talk about the recent Rachel's Challenge event at the school. And I'm going to ask our guests to introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Ethan Eisler.
Hi, I'm Leanne Mears.
I'm Carlos Tyag.
And Ethan, what grade are you in?
I'm a senior at UCSD.
Okay, how about you, Leanne?
I'm a senior as well.
Well, we wanted to talk a little bit about the recent Rachel's Challenge workshops that happened at the Unalaska High School, because it sounds like it was a really informative and maybe cathartic event for some people. And so I have some questions here I want to ask, and if you want to just jump in and answer whenever you feel comfortable. The first one is, I'll start with you, Ethan. What do you think was the reasoning behind the school's decision to bring in the Rachel's Challenge speakers?
I think it was school climate and the way that we treat each other and our peers. Like, we treat each other good, but more, it was more like widespread, like to the whole school, where we treat each other and not just like our group of friends. So it's like brings everybody together.
What about you, Leanne? Why did you think that they decided to hold Rachel's Challenge here in Unalaska?
Well, our principal had talked previously about how our school climate surveys had gone down, and I know they wanted to show the students like they care about our voice and our opinion, and I believe they wanted to teach us like the value of being kind to one another.
So that must have felt good to feel like your input was validated and that they responded to it by actually taking action to it. That must have felt good.
Yeah.
So, Leanne, without getting too personal, or I mean, whatever you're comfortable talking about, what was the Rachel's Challenge experience like for you?
It was definitely emotional. I know a lot of people were crying. I tried not to cry because I don't like crying in public. But they asked a lot of personal questions that applied to a lot of people, about like bullying and low income and like your home life. And so it was definitely an emotional experience.
Mm-hmm. And how about for you, Carlos?
I think it was overwhelmingly positive. You know, I think part of talking about the school climate and connectedness survey that they did last year, this was kind of the next step in that. And I think the school was being really intentional about kind of getting students to understand each other more, right? And to get the school and adults and students and everyone kind of in the community to just have some empathy and understand each other more. Mm-hmm. So for me, I agree with Leanne, it was pretty emotional. But it was also just a really positive outcome to kind of find like belonging and empathy with people and have people kind of understand where you're coming from and that we all come from different places and different situations. And you never really know what situations people are coming from, which is why it's so important to understand those things when we start talking about bullying and we start talking about the way that we treat each other, not only in school, but as community members, right? So, so for me, it was impactful and it was important. And I hope that we continue to do these things as a community and bring in more members of the community.
Sounds like a great lesson for adults too. How about you, Ethan? What was the challenge? What was the experience like for you?
I think it was mostly like not sticking to a specific group, like branching out, like not just staying with your same group of friends, but like making new friends in different groups with different groups of people. And like, along with what Carlos said, like, not just like, because you never know what people are going through. So like one person could be like perfectly fine. If like, say you, like one day you make a joke and then they like laugh at that joke. And then the next day you make that same joke and then they like get angry about it because like something changed that made them feel a certain way. And like, we never know what that person is going through.
Right. People are good at hiding things, especially challenges. So did participating in the Rachel's Challenge event change the way you see your schoolmates, your classmates, and the younger kids too? And if so, in what way?
Yeah, I think we're a lot more open with each other. And I think that since Rachel's Challenge, we're more comfortable talking to each other. Like, for the most part, like for me, I would be having like troubles with my day, or And I would just keep to myself, like, oh, what's wrong, Ethan? Like, oh, nothing, I'm fine. But now I'm like, if somebody was to ask me, I'd be more likely to share like what's actually happening. And I feel like most people would do the same now.
That's great. And did it change how you see your classmates and the younger kids at your school, Leanne?
For sure. You don't really, like how we said previously, you don't really know what people are going through. Like, you can't know everything about everyone. And so when, especially during the Cross the Line event, when they asked us questions and people would, like, step forward if that's happened to them or they experienced it in some way, it came as a shock, like, to see somebody who you didn't know was struggling with, like, their image of themselves.
So can you tell me a little bit more about the Cross the Line event? What exactly was that about? Because not everybody knows what that means when you say Cross the Line. Give me an example, Ian.
So one of the questions was about, like, if you've ever been bullied for, like, what you wear, how you look, or stuff like that. And then, so you're on one side of the gym, and if you could relate to the statement that they said, then you walked over to, like, the middle of the floor and, like, faced the rest of your peers.
Wow, that must have taken a lot of courage for people to do that, because it's not always easy to admit that, you know, my family has alcoholism in it, or my family, I have a relative in prison or something like that. You know, it takes a lot of courage to admit that kind of stuff. That's really great that you guys were brave enough to do that. Did it change the way that you see your teachers or the other adults who participated, like Carlos here?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, you don't know what, like, your teachers are kind of, like, impersonal or something. Like, you know, they don't share a lot about their background. And so, like, if they stepped forward, if they've ever struggled, like, if they've ever been, like, poverty or anything, like, it's kind of a new perspective on teachers and adults in the community.
Yeah, like, we only ever see the business side of a teacher. And through Rachel's challenge, we really got to see what, like, the other life, like, the second life, essentially, of a teacher. It's like, I remember a couple of the teachers had crossed the line when one of the questions, like, have you ever been bullied before? And, like, you never really think about that. Like, teachers go through their own stuff that we don't even know about, and they can have their good days and they can have their bad days just like us. But it's just crazy to think about, and I definitely think that you become more empathetic for teachers and what they go through, and because it's something that we don't know about.
You kind of see them as human beings.
Yeah.
Rather than just, like, the people in charge of you for an hour every day or something.
Definitely.
Yeah, you never know what might be going on with people, whether it be an illness or a financial crisis or... what about you, Carlos? How did it change the way you see the school faculty or the student body?
Yeah, I think, you know, to add on to what Ethan was saying, it's funny when you get into this place where, you know, like, I'm not a teacher, but I work with kids and I work with the teenagers, right? And I think sometimes that the teenagers assume that we just ended up adults, right? That we just, like, we magically, we like came to this place, but that's in fact very not true, right? Like, we've been through high school, we've experienced the same things, and I think that this is, you know, doing something like this and the school having the forethought and the care to put an event like this together is really important, because I talked to some of the teenagers, and it was, for me, it was an important thing, because I thought, like, wow, I wish I could have done this in high school. Right. This would have been so healthy for my school climate when I was in high school, and not just for my school climate, but for me personally, right? For my own mental health and safety and feelings of well-being, right? So there's that. But I don't know if I saw people differently, but I think that we saw the real versions of people, you know, which is really nice. And it makes us feel better about being connected to each other when you see the real version of someone, right? We talked about, like, people wearing masks and the masks that we have to wear throughout our day. And a lot of times those masks can protect us, right? But they can also, like, keep us separate from the rest of the world and the rest of the community that we're connected with. So just being afforded a day to be connected with each other as real people was really, really nice, you know? And the last thing on that is, like, you know, you can tell by just these two in here speaking and how well spoken they are about this thing is, like, you know, we knew that they were kind, intelligent, smart young people that go to our school, yeah. right? But it's nice to know that everybody can see that now.
That's right? great. So, Leanne, what surprised you the most about going through the Rachel's Challenge event?
I'd have to say the honesty that everyone brought into the gym with them. You don't, like, get an honest version of everyone every day because, like Carlos said, they wear masks. Mm-hmm. And when everybody, like, came in and they were honest with themselves and the people that they interacted with, kind of actually surprised me.
Yeah, it's really scary to be vulnerable and admit that you're not perfect all the time or that you know, aren't always doing so well. So, yeah, I know what you mean. And how about you, Ethan? What surprised you the most?
I think I have to agree with Leanne, like, the honesty that people brought, because, like, I never really thought that, like, our school could be that honest with each other all at one time. I'm pretty sure everyone at the gym at some point that day, like, took off their mask, if not fully, at least a little bit, and, like, kind of accepted the truth that Rachel's Challenge was bringing to us. And, yeah, I think it's crazy, like, what had to happen, like, with Rachel mm-hmm. at Columbine, like, what point we had to be pushed past to, like, treat each other the way that we do now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it kind of fathoms me, honestly. Like, I'm a pretty nice person in general, but, like, it's kind of crazy to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the point we had to go past to treat each other with at least a little bit of kindness and respect and truth.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it can also be scary to reach out to someone who you might think is struggling because you may feel like you don't know exactly how to help them or what is the quote-unquote right thing to say. But just the fact that people are being willing to reach out is the important thing, I think.
Yeah.
Was there anything that surprised you about it, Carlos?
About Rachel's Challenge?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's a hard question. Surprise is... You know, I guess it's an interesting thing to talk about. I think I was delightfully surprised by how well people seem to embrace it, right? Because a lot of times it's not easy just to walk into a room and start talking about, like, your feelings and your emotions and all your personal stuff, right? So we didn't get there right away, mm-hmm. but we got there. And so I guess that's a nice surprise is that everybody felt safe enough to do that.
Yeah.
So
that's incredible.
Yeah.
Okay. So Ethan, what was the best part of the Rachel's Challenge experience for you?
I think the best part was definitely the cross the line game at the very end. Mm-hmm. It was, like, the best worst part. 'Cause, like, I cried a lot, but I really think that it helped open, like, all of our eyes in a way, because, like, we all, in a way, got to see, like, what we've gone through, and, like, if we don't, like, fully understand what someone has gone through, we at least, like, partially understand because we know that they're going through that. Mm-hmm. And so, like, with all the different questions and people crossing the line for, like, there was, like, sections where it was, like, only questions for girls, and that part was really, like, moving to me. Like, even though I'm not a girl, I realized that there's, like, things that I don't experience and I don't understand because I'm not a girl. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's just crazy. Like, because I didn't understand that girls go through all the hardships that they do mm-hmm. throughout their life because I don't get to experience those things.
Right.
And it really, like, opened my eyes and I felt empathy for them. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
That's great. And on the flip side of that, do you think that, you know, there are challenges for boys too, like maybe not being allowed to cry or show emotion. Do you feel like was part of it too, that maybe it was sort of an okay place for guys to show emotion when usually it isn't?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Like, that's definitely a stereotype, is that boys aren't supposed to cry or mm-hmm. aren't supposed to show emotion. But I held it in for a little bit, but there was one point where I just, like, couldn't hold back, like, you know, like, that cry that's, like, the ugly cry.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's the only kind of cry I got.
Yeah. But, yeah.
It's a good one. It's cathartic. It makes
exactly.
you feel good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's part of the human experience, just like joy is. And I think if we deny men and boys the right to cry and to have deep feelings and to express them, we're denying them part of that human experience. And so I think it's great. What was the best part of the day for you, Leanne?
I'd have to agree with Ethan, because the cross the line, it was like really frightening and scary, sure. But it was also really good to see that you're not alone in what you go through on like a daily basis, because people experience it too. Mm-hmm. And after the cross the line activity, like people were just allowed to freely speak about how the Rachel's Challenge experience impacted them. And I think that was a good part of Rachel's Challenge, because you got to hear how people, like how it impacted them and what they thought about the entire event.
Sometimes even people that aren't comfortable getting up and talking, you know, when someone else gets up and talks and it reflects a little bit of what that person is feeling, they feel even more connected, that they're kind of feeling the same thing. Anything you want to add to that, Carlos, about what was the best about the day for you?
I think in general, the feeling that people had afterwards, that I had afterwards, was I think the best part of the day for me, that we got to go through that experience, but also it kind of felt like there was this weight lifted off your shoulders that you didn't know was there, right? In a sense, because just because we got to be real with each other. And I think there was also, you know, a lot of this we've talked about, like how heavy things were and how emotional things were, but things were also really like happy and joyous
and
fun, right? And so it was all of it. It was all the emotions that you could experience all in one. And then you left with this feeling of lightness, right? Mm-hmm. That something had been lifted off of your shoulders. And maybe there's not, and I don't know how you guys feel, but maybe there's not this huge social pressure surrounding our community in a certain way that people feel like they can be a little bit more connected and real and real. Light with each other, mm-hmm. you know? So that's my perception. I don't know how you guys feel, though.
If you agree or disagree.
So was there a part of it, and you might have already covered this, you know, some of these questions maybe are a little repetitive. Was there a part of it that was especially difficult for you? I mean, you've already talked about the cross the line. Was there anything else that was especially difficult? Maybe, I don't know, hearing about what happened at Columbine or something like that? Or what was harder for you, Ethan?
One of the harder parts was actually me and Leanne were partners for this game, and you had to sit right across from them, and you had to like touch knees and hold hands at the same time, and you like couldn't, you like had to keep the contact the whole time and like stare into each other's eyes, and we had to talk for a minute, and like usually it's kind of hard to talk straight for a minute, it wasn't as hard once you opened up with the person. Like, once you were able to share your story with them, it became way easier, but it was still really difficult at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I got to learn a lot about Leanne, and it was really nice.
Mm-hmm. It's brave. It's brave to do that kind of stuff for anybody. What about you, Leanne? Was there something that was scary or especially difficult for you?
Kind of going off what Ethan said.
Yeah.
I have a very hard time looking people in the eye, like when I talk to them, especially when it's about personal circumstances. Just have a really hard time doing that. And so being honest with myself and like the people that I interacted with was very difficult in that sense. So, and yeah, just being honest about what I've been through and like telling other people. And I was kind of grateful that I had Ethan as my partner, because like I know him a little bit more than I know other people in my school. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I can see that. How about you, Carlos? Was there something that was particularly difficult or challenging for you?
I think the most challenging part for me was, you know, we talk about the origins of this movement of Rachel's Challenge, and it started with Rachel was the first student who was murdered at Columbine, and I remember, you know, that day is one of the days that I can remember very clearly. And I was I think I was a sophomore in high school, and you know, my history teacher wheeled in a TV when they had to do that before like the internet, right? and it was CNN, and he made us watch, you know, not in a terrible way, but what was happening at Columbine. And you know, he had this conversation with us where it was like, we have to treat each other better, and we can't let students walk around our high school feeling this way, right? And I think my history teacher realized that, like, this is probably something that happens in every high school where people feel isolated or disconnected from the community that they live in, and terrible things can happen if we're not connected in a positive way. So for me, like, reliving that day is pretty difficult.
Yeah.
You know, because I thought as a high school student at that time, I thought that, okay, like, we can do better. Like, my generation can do better. We can change this behavior. We can make a more positive impact on the world. You know, and Ethan and I and a couple other kids, probably 6-7 months ago, had a conversation where, you know, I had a pretty honest conversation with them where I told them that I don't feel like my generation has done a good enough job, because these things are still happening, and we're still dealing with school shootings, and we're still dealing with, you know, with mental health, right? And not talking about a lot of those things, and having these weird stigmas around mental health and community connectedness, right? So, yeah, not to get super emotional about it, but I think it makes me feel good to see this generation carrying on that movement, right? Because as an adult, I realize that there's a lot more work to do than just, you know, thinking like, we can do this, we can fix this problem. But together, you know, multi-generational, like, we can fix this, you know, we can do better.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought up the issue of mental health. You know, September is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and I know Rachel's challenge isn't specifically about suicide, although the perpetrators of the Columbine shooting did commit suicide, complete suicide. And I do think we need to talk about mental health. You know, 1 in 5 Americans suffers from a mental illness or a mental health issue, and it's more common than diabetes. It's more common than a ton of common everyday diseases that no one is ashamed to talk about. So I think we really have to work on making it okay for people to talk about it and to get help. So I'm really glad you brought that up. Ethan, do you think having the Rachel's Challenge workshop has changed the school climate at all?
I think so. I definitely think that we're more open with each other. There's less cliques and stuff like that. We're definitely more open to each other than we were before.
Okay. How about you, Leanne? Do you feel that too, or?
I guess kind of like both yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
No, because people are like people, and we're still going to like have our really good friends and people we don't really like. We have like issues with other people, and it's like personal issues, but yeah. And I guess it's kind of like it was a then and there event. Like, you felt good after the event, but, I mean, like, after a few weeks, it kind of just dissipates. Mm-hmm. So people kind of, they kind of look back on it, but they kind of don't. And so, yeah. But, yes, because I know people can be, like, I've seen, like, people be more compassionate and empathetic towards others, but it's still kind of like a then and there moment.
It's hard to sustain any positive change, but wow, it sure sounds like it was a good first step, and that you definitely got a lot out of it.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's a movement, right?
Yeah, a movement.
Like,
and
it's
something that, you know, you start off and you got to start with a good amount of momentum, and then it kind of ebbs and flows.
Exactly.
But it's a step in the right direction.
For sure.
So.
And I'm sure that you two, you know, the way you treat your friends and yourselves, you know, is an example for your team, your classmates, and also students younger than you. And in your interactions with youth, Carlos, since this event, have you seen any changes in the way young people are treating each other and treating themselves?
Yeah, I think in the environment that I work in, you know, when kids come to the community center after school, it's been really nice, just the simple things, and I don't even know if these guys notice that they're doing it, but the simple things of acknowledging each other and saying hi to each other as they walk by, you know, and making eye contact and smiling at each other, like, that's a big deal.
It's huge.
Those are like really nice things to make people feel connected,
and easy.
You know? Yeah. And they're easy. They're things that you can do.
Yeah.
And I see kids who maybe wouldn't have talked before, wouldn't have hung out or had a passing conversation, at least just acknowledging each other, you know, mm-hmm. and acknowledgement is a really important thing, you know, because it makes people feel valued. So whether or not you're friends with people or we're all friends with people, you know, there's people you spend more time with throughout your day, but
sure.
you know, just saying hi to someone or acknowledging them, makes that person feel valued. And I see a lot of that happening. Definitely, I mean, after school where I'm at, and if it's happening where I'm at, I'm sure it's happening in the hallways at school. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Let me ask this. Do you think that young people in town know where to go for help and support if they have issues they're dealing with and they don't feel comfortable talking to a parent? Or, I mean, do they know about, you know, the behavioral health programs? Do they know about USAVE? Do you feel like people know where they can go when they need help? Leon?
I don't think so.
No?
No. I mean, I know there are like a handful of people who do. And you can ask people, and some people will know, some people won't. And it's just kind of like the stigma, how we mentioned earlier. Like, if you're going to go and ask about places where you can get help for like mental illnesses, people don't usually want to do that because they're scared of how the people who they're asking are going to react.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Ethan? Do you think people know where to go for help in town?
I'd say like yes and no. Like some of them do, but not all of them. Mm-hmm. And like I agree with Leanne in the way that I feel like they're afraid to ask people because of how they'll react.
Because of the stigma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Sounds like programs like USAVE could do a better job then of reaching out to kids. So I'm glad that you told me that. Mm-hmm. So how can an adult like me, who may not necessarily be around the school very much, help create a safer community for young people? Because I don't have any kids in the school. What can I do to support you and make you feel like I value you as a member of this community?
I think by like holding events and people like seeing you there, and like students, youth seeing you there at events that maybe you might not be a part of, but you might be hosting at the same time, and just how like you show yourself to them and leading by an example, I guess, and giving them a positive example, and like maybe that they want to emulate.
Mm-hmm. That's a great answer.
I think something that adults can do in the community who maybe don't necessarily feel connected is one, just kind of get out there and put yourself in situations where, you know, you're volunteering. You know, you can volunteer to coach a sport or to help out, or to you know, go to the pool and help out and do the timing for the swim meets and stuff like that. Or just
show up and cheer.
Yeah, show up and cheer and just be involved in the community. But there's a lot of stuff that the kids do that are like put on by the kids and for the kids. Sorry, teenagers, you guys are more than kids. You're community members,
young
right?
Adults.
Young adults. There's a lot of stuff that they do that I think more adults should show up to, mm-hmm. you know, just because it shows that we're invested in the youth in this community, and it shows that we care about the things that they do. I see movements all the time, you know. These guys do stuff for the environment. Right. They do stuff for charities. They do a lot of fundraising. They do a lot of stuff for the youth in the community, and I think it's okay. You know, this is like me giving permission to the rest of the adults to show up. Mm-hmm. Even if it feels weird or strange, you might be the only adult, but show up and be supportive, because
mm-hmm.
That helps. And then also the second part is I think it's important for us to have open doors, you know. I think people in general, but also teenagers, feel supported when they know that your door is open, right. you know. So even if you're not necessarily readily acceptable, I think something that you can tell someone who may need support is just to say, like, hey, my door's open. You mm-hmm. can come talk anytime you want, mm-hmm. if you feel comfortable doing that. You mm-hmm. know, that's a hard spot for an adult to put yourself into, because then you have to listen, right?
Right. I know what you mean. But, yeah, I think you make yeah. good points. I mean, I think I personally could do a better job of showing up for school events and youth-centered events, because I think as a person who doesn't have children of my own, maybe I don't, you know, show up as much as I should. to show that I do care about the community youth and care about their accomplishments and the things that are important to them. So I appreciate you saying that.
You're welcome. But we also can acknowledge that you're really good at your job.
Oh.
And we appreciate you in this community. And asking the question is also showing your investment. So
yeah, I love these conversations.
We appreciate you, Lynn.
Okay, so is there anything you want to add before we wrap it up? I've really enjoyed this conversation. Is there anything you want to add about the whole Rachel's Challenge experience or anything it's this conversation has brought up while we've been talking? Or
Like for parents,
mm-hmm.
So like after the Rachel's Challenge, I went home and I told my mom about it, and I told her like all the things that I went through when I was a kid about being bullied. And my mom really opened up to me, and she told me like a lot of her experiences. And me and my mom have done a lot of similar things, and it really helped me relate to her. And I told her a lot of things that I never thought that I would tell my mom, like about me. Like I really just opened up to her and told her basically my life story, or the parts that she didn't know about,
mm-hmm.
because the parts that I didn't want her to know about. But yeah, just like if you're a parent and you have kids, like teenagers or like a little bit younger, like just tell them your story. Tell them what you've gone through, the hardships that you've been through. Just really show them that if you're able to tell them like the hard things that you've done in your life,
mm-hmm.
it'll really help them to tell you the hard things.
That must have felt really good.
It was really,
really close.
Yeah, it was really relieving.
Yeah.
I didn't have to hide anything. I really felt like I could be myself around my parents more than I already was.
Mm-hmm. That's great. How about you, Leanne? Is there anything that this conversation has brought up for you, or anything that you want to add to what's already been said?
I guess, like, going back to the community and adults in the community, if you want youth to act a certain way, then you should, like, act that way, too. And if you're going to, like, do something that you don't want youth to be doing, then you probably shouldn't be doing it either.
Got it.
Yeah, I agree. Lead by example, right?
Yes.
Lead by example.
Exactly. Well, I just want to acknowledge that Ethan's mother, Erin, is on the USAFE Board of Directors, and I just love her. And I also know Leanne's mom, Sharon. She has the best laugh of anybody in this town. I love her laugh. Carlos is also on our board. Carlos, did you want to add anything?
Yeah, I think, you know, Ethan brings up a good topic. And I was sitting at my desk having a conversation with someone, and I thought, you know, I wrote a note about like a training that we're going to be doing with the teen council. And my note just said, encourage kids to talk to their parents, right? And so, like, you know, you guys talk to each other and you talk to, you know, people around town. There's plenty of people who come into my office and have conversations with me, you know, but the funny thing that happens is that I'm sure most of your parents every day ask you, hey, how was your day? What did you do at school today?
Fine.
Right. And you give them like the no answer where you're like, yeah, it was fine. I'm going to go hang out.
Yeah.
Right. But like, you know, and I hope parents are listening to this too, because it's important to have that conversation. Like, keep asking your kids how their day was.
Or find a different
important.
Way to ask. Or
right.
Something.
Find a different way to ask. But also, like, you know, as teenagers, like, you got to be a little bit more flexible and willing to give. Like, talk to your parents. They love you. They care about
they
you.
Do.
They want to know about your day. So tell them more than just your day was fine. You know, find some detail to give them. And they're asking because they want to listen. So. If I can just encourage any of you kids out there, just to makes me sound old, right?
You
kids
up there.
Out there, yeah. But just talk to your parents. I think it's good. It'll make you feel good.
Yeah. Yep.
Definitely.
Okay, so I think we're going to wrap it up here for now. I just want to remind everyone out there that USAFE has a 24-hour crisis line that's available anytime at 581-1500. September is Suicide Prevention and Awareness Month. This is Happy Healthy Unalaska, which is a collaborative project between KUCB and USAFE. I'd like to thank our guests, Ethan Eisler, Leanne Mears, and Carlos Tayag. My name is Emlyn Crane. Our engineer is Lauren Adams with KUCB. This show will air Friday, September 28th at noon, and then again on Saturday, September 29th at 4 p.m. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great weekend.